Over the last couple of weeks or a couple of weeks ago, I did a message and I titled it a different way. And I've just, man, the Lord is just not letting me get off of it. And so this morning, I just want to talk to you just a little bit about a different way one more time. Doing the things that Jesus did and how do I arrange or rearrange my life around Jesus and the way that he lived. What I said a couple of weeks ago is if we are going to do the things that Jesus did, that we first have to do the things that Jesus did, right? And so to be a person of peace and joy and freedom and victory and have that deep connection with the Father, that we first have to do the things that Jesus did. And some of the things that he did was these are some of the practices that I've been studying and looking at. And the first one that I want to talk to you about is prayer. So like prayer and fasting and scripture and communion and just celebrating and generosity. And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you just a little bit more about doing the things that Jesus did behind the scenes. You see, if I want Jesus's life, I first have to take on his lifestyle. And if I want to do the works of Jesus, then I first have to walk in the ways of Jesus. Amen. And so our verse today is simply this. It's 1 Timothy 4, 7b. Just this little part of this verse. Train yourself to be godly. Don't just try to be godly. Don't wait around and hope that one day you'll become godly. And don't assume that God's going to send this big lightning bolt and all of a sudden make you godly. You got to train yourself to be godly, right? To take on the practices or the spiritual disciplines, if you will. And it's the lifestyle of Jesus that will shape and mold you and form you into the image and the likeness of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to talk to you today about one of these practices, and that's prayer. The way that Jesus lived his life so that we can open ourselves up to receive the gift of grace. And so it'll change us on the inside out. And so I want you to understand we're not doing something for God, but we're opening up ourselves to God so that he can change us from the inside so that we can learn to arrange our life around him. You see, one day at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, when the word was started getting out of who he was and how he was healing and all the things that he was doing, that there was so many people started coming to see Jesus. And they would just come in, and the sick and the lost and the lame and the blind and the broken and the oppressed and the demon-possessed, those people were in great need, and they were constantly just coming to Jesus. They were constantly coming with their major needs in their life. And I love what it says in Mark 1, verses 35 and 37. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" And at this moment, and at the very beginning of Jesus's ministry, we discover really quick through this passage that Jesus's life was arranged around prayer and not people. That Jesus arranged his life around his relationship with the Father and not the demands of the people. It's like it almost didn't matter what the people wanted from him. What mattered was him arranging his life in prayer and communion and relationship with the Father. And everything else that happened flowed through that relationship. And you see it all throughout the Gospels over and over again. We could look at Luke chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "The news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely places and prayed." It's like the more people wanted stuff from him, the more that he would remove himself to go and be with the Father. And I'm sure that this confused the disciples because they're like, "Jesus, this is why you're here. It's these people. This is why you're here. And they're here, so you can't leave right now." And Jesus is like, "No, this isn't the whole point. This isn't the point of why I'm here. The whole point is for me to be connected with the Father, and everything else flows out of that." Amen. And not only was it early in the morning or late at night, but it was all throughout the day. in the middle of events, experiences, activities, Jesus would just stop right there and he would just start praying. I mean, like when he's raising Lazarus from the dead and there's all kinds of people around and they're weeping and they're wailing and they're mourning over Lazarus being dead and they're all wondering what Jesus is going to do. We can see in John chapter 11, verse 42, it says, they took away the stone and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me and I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people. In other words, everyone's there. You think that he would just be talking to the people, but no, he's just talking to God. And what you get when you read the Gospels is that sense that Jesus was always aware of the Father. And everything in his life flowed from that reality. And it was like he was constantly connected with the Father. And so he was able to connect with everyone around him. And you see it over and over again. Another time, you watch Jesus as he's talking about going to the cross, and he just shouts out all of a sudden, he just says, Father, glorify your name. Like, can you imagine in the middle of my message, I just start talking to Jesus, and you guys are wondering, you know, are you talking to me? Are you talking to God? Who are you talking to? And that's the way I think it was with Jesus. I think that he would just start talking to all the time, and he would get in the presence of God no matter where he was at. Because he was aware of that presence, that God was with him. And you see him pray all the time. You see Jesus, he prayed when he was at baptism. He prayed the night before he picked all of his disciples. He prayed when there was sorrow from Lazarus's death. He prayed on his way to the cross. He prayed when he was on the cross. Over and over again, you get this sense from Jesus that he had this awareness of the presence of God. You see, Jesus just acted like God was alive. Like God was real, like God was available, God cared, and God was deeply involved in the intimate realities of his life. And you never see Jesus doing this. You never see Jesus using religious words to talk to God. He never uses these religious words or overcomplicating it. He doesn't plead. He doesn't beg. He just knows God is going to show up and do something. And he just lived his life like God was real, like God was available. God cared in what was going on in his life, early in the morning, late in the evening, and all throughout the day. In fact, his prayer life was so powerful that one day when he was finishing praying, his disciples said to him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, these men, they knew how to pray. They were Jews. I mean, they had the religion of prayer. They had the tradition of prayer. And they were men who prayed, but there was something about the way that Jesus prayed that was so personal and so powerful that it made them look at him and say, Jesus, we see how your life is arranged. Would you help us arrange our life like that? You see, Jesus didn't see prayer as a last resort. He saw it as a lifestyle. Boy, that'll get us, won't it? It gets me. This is going through me before it's going through you this morning. Amen? But if prayer was how Jesus arranged his life, and if we want to do the things that Jesus did, then we have to first arrange our life around prayer. And so I want to talk to you about the practice of prayer this morning. Because, see, I think if I were to go around this room and ask, every one of us in this room would say, we wished we had a better prayer life. Am I right? Amen. Oh, we say we want to have one. We want to go deeper. We want to connect. We want our prayer to look like Jesus's life did and like his prayers did. And we have this desire within us. But yet somehow it gets all confused and all complicated. Like prayer is so simple, and yet for us it feels so complicated. Amen? Like prayer, it's just basic, and yet it often feels mysterious to us at times. And most of us, where we pray and when we pray, I think is one of two things. One is when we're asked to pray in a group, maybe, or when life has fallen apart and we have nothing left. I don't think that we pray a whole lot more often than that, usually, if we're honest, for most Christians around the world. And our view of prayer has been shaped by the way we've been raised and by the experiences that we've had and what's been modeled before us and by the disappointments of what we think are unanswered prayer. All of these things shape that. We think these things and we think, I've prayed, but nothing happened. And so we form this theology from that. And then we live our life based on that false reality. And if I asked you, what do you think prayer is? How would you answer that question? I think for the majority of Christians around the globe, prayer would be defined as asking God for things. I think for the average person, we would have reduced it down to prayer as asking God for things. And now you might not use those words. You might say, I don't know how you would say it, but you might use those words. But in some shape or form, that's what a lot of us really believe about prayer. But prayer is so much more than asking God for things. Amen? You see, here's what prayer is. Prayer is two things. Prayer is intimacy and authority. Prayer is intimacy with God, and it's the authority with God. So let me say it a different way for you. Prayer is relationship and rulership. It's a relationship with God, and it's ruling with God. It's prayer is communion and commissioning. It's communing with God, and it's the commissioning authority that we have when we rule and reign with Him as our assignment here on earth. Amen? So see, prayer is about intimacy and with God first and foremost. It's relationship, connection, friendship. It's talking, it's listening, it's vulnerability, it's face-to-face, it's heart-to-heart. It's where you can laugh and joke with God. Do you ever laugh and joke with Him? I do it all the time in my car. I see things and I laugh, and God, you sure are funny sometimes. But it's also where we can weep and we can have sorrow, where we can share our secrets and where we can share our hearts. It's the sense of intimacy and relationship. But it's also about authority. It's where we bind and we loose and we remove and we replace and we declare and we prophesy. But the problem is that we jump to authority without the intimacy. We jump to what God can do through us and for us, opposed to just who God is and wanting Him for Him. In fact, that's why Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 7, He says, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Can you see that? Intimacy. If you remain in Me, authority, ask whatever you wish. Can you imagine Moses? I mean, you have this authority. If you have this intimacy, you have this authority. Can you imagine Moses? Moses, he was so intimate with God that he had the authority to confront Pharaoh. Take a look at David. He had so much intimacy with Jesus, with God, that he had the ability to slay Goliath. Think about Peter. He had so much intimacy with Jesus that he was able to give the very first gospel message. But our problem is that we jump to authority without the intimacy. And can I tell you this, if you pursue the authority without the intimacy, you'll never find it. But if you seek out the intimacy, you'll always find the authority. Amen? But when we reduce prayer down to just asking God for things, we miss the whole thing. And then we get disappointed and we have these all these unanswered prayers, but maybe they're not really unanswered. Maybe it's that I bypassed intimacy to get to authority instead of choosing the intimacy and then allowing the authority for everything else to flow through that. Amen? In fact, here's a good question for you this morning, is why throughout the Bible, a lot of places it says, well, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Have you ever thought about why does it say that? Why is He asking you that and telling you that? Is it so that I can have what I want? Is it so that everything can go my way? Is it so life can be easy? No, He tells us to ask for whatever we want because He's empowering us to rule and to reign with Him here on earth. And He's commissioned us as His delegated authority here on earth. And so He's given us this empowerment to ask for things that will accomplish His will on this earth, not ours. You see, it's an authority that flows from intimacy. And this is why James says in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend it on yourself. You see, I think the whole broken thought process of our prayer life is asking God for things that are good for me. And he says, no, I've empowered you to ask me for things that are good for the world around you, the place I've placed you for. Because if I do that, then my kingdom comes and my goodness comes and my glory will reign because you're my representatives here on earth. Amen? You have a very important assignment, each and every one of us. And we couldn't do it without this empowerment, and we can't do it without the intimacy. So let me help you think about it a different way. Husbands, I want to talk to you for just a minute. So what if your wife, the only time she talked to you was ever when she's coming to you with a honey-do list. She says, honey, can you clean the garage? Honey, can you wash my car? It's out of gas. Could you go fill it up? Can you hang this? Can you fix that? Can you do this? Can you do that? If that was the only time she talked to you, how would that make you feel? But you see, in reality, you want to do those things for her. You want to do every one of the things that is going to put a smile on her face. But you also want her to see you. You also want her to pursue you and have intimacy with you and to ask you questions and to actually listen to you about what you have to say. Moms, think about it this way. Imagine if all your kids ever did was ask you for stuff. Not that that would ever happen. Not that that would ever happen. Okay? Mom, I need lunch. Mom, can you sign this? Mom, can you take me here? Mom, I need to be at this ball field on this particular time. Mom, can you get me this? Can you order this from Amazon? You know, all these things. But in reality, you want to do those things for your kids because you love them. But you also want them to talk to you about their day. Students, when you come in from school and mom says, how was your day? And you go, fine. Well, did anything happen today? Did anything exciting happen? No. Well, you know, we want to know. We want, you know, you're as a mom, you're doing all of these things, and you want to have this interaction. You don't want to have just be, no, yeah, okay, just little bitty conversations. You want to have a true conversation. And students, how about you? Can you imagine if all your parents did was told you to go and do stuff? You know, do your homework, clean your room, get your hair cut, don't wear that. You know, whatever the things are, you know. You don't really mind your parents asking you to do things, but you do want to be seen and you want to be noticed and you want to feel like there's value to the things that you're saying when you talk to them. Are you catching me on this? You see, there's so much more to prayer than just asking God for stuff. It's about intimacy. It's about having a relationship. In fact, here's how I would define prayer for you. Prayer is talking with God about the life that you're living together. My prayer time is prayer of me talking to God about the life that he and I are living together. That's what I think prayer is. And because I'm not living this life independent from him, amen? So whether we realize it or not, God has chosen not to live without us. And so prayer is talking with God about this life that we're living together. And that was Jesus early in the morning, late at night, and in the middle of the day. Talking to God about the life that they were living together. So prayer then is simply how you experience a connection that already exists. Prayer does not connect you with God. Prayer doesn't connect you with God. If it was prayer that connected you with God, then it would be on you to connect yourself with God, not on the finished work of Jesus. Amen? And you're not greater than Jesus, and neither am I. And so I don't have the ability to connect myself with God. Only Jesus can do that. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. And once I realize that I've been deeply connected with God, and prayer is how I experience that and how I feel that and how I open myself up to this connection that he says already exists. It's like a marriage. When a husband and wife get married, in that moment that they get married, the two become one. And they're as connected in that moment as they'll ever be in their marriage. The two have just become one. But if they want to experience that connection, there's some things that have to happen. If they want to experience that connection and feel that connection and enjoy that connection, they have to have communion and conversation with one another. And if we are the bride of Christ, then the two have become one when we ask him into our heart. And for us to enjoy that connection, we have to have face-to-face time with Jesus. And we need to talk, and we need to listen, and we need to become aware of his presence in our daily life. Amen? Are you with me on this? You see, prayer is not something that God demands from you. It's something that he longs for with you. It's such a different way of thinking. It's so much more than asking God for stuff. Amen? I mean, have you ever just stopped to think about what the invitation of prayer actually is? Can you imagine that the Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the Great I Am, the Holy One, he wants to talk with you? The Good Shepherd, the Spring of Living Water, the Bread of Life, the Prince of Peace, he wants to listen to you? The Lion of Judah and the Lamb who was slain wants to experience a connection with you. With me. It's humbling, isn't it? Have you ever thought about it like that? You see, prayer isn't a religious duty or asking God for things. Maybe it's the greatest invitation of your life. And maybe that's why Jesus wasn't worried about what people wanted from him. He was super interested, though, in his connection with the Father. I mean, have you ever just stopped and asked yourself, when God made you, why did he make you with a mouth and some ears and a heart? Surely he didn't make us with a mouth so that we could gossip and slander and grumble and criticize and complain and curse. Surely he didn't give us ears so that we could listen to accusations and lies and deception. Surely he didn't give us a heart so that we could love the things of this world. He gave you a mouth so that you could speak directly to him. He gave you ears so you could listen to him. He gave you a heart so that you could give and receive love with the one that gives life himself. You see, prayer is an intimate thing. Prayer is talking to God about this life that we're living together. And when was the last time that you talked to God about the life that you and him are living together? Hopefully this is creating a sense of repentance and it's changing the way you think about prayer. But let me just try to build your faith. Let me do this for you. Let me try to build your faith, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Catch this verse with me, if you will. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, we can come boldly to God when we're in need because of what Jesus has done. We can approach God with that freedom and that confidence that at any time, in any place, that we, in whatever's going on in our life, we can come to Jesus. Another scripture, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask, there it is again, okay? Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. See, God wants us to ask for things, but he wants to empower us. He wants to give us the authority to have the faith that what we will ask for will bring his kingdom to the world that we're in. Here's another one. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. You see, if we ask, we seek, we knock, we will receive, we will find, and the door will be open to us in Jesus' name. It's because he cares about us, he sees us, and he's interested in the pain, the brokenness, the disappointment, the sorrow, the heaviness, the questions, the confusion. He cares. He cares about all of that. And the Bible also says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or it's powerful and effective. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? So, okay, then, if you're the righteousness of God, then your prayer is powerful and effective. It might not change what is happening out here right away, but it will certainly change what's happening in here right away. Let me give you one more. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Sometimes we just have no idea, right? We don't even know. But it says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You see, even when we don't know what to pray or how to pray, the Spirit is praying in me and through me. So let me ask you this. Why can't we pray? What's stopping us from praying? What's keeping us from praying? I think the only barrier that we have is right here. That's the only barrier that's keeping us from prayer. You see, the interesting thing to me about prayer is your prayer life, now don't get mad at me, but your prayer life probably reveals your theology more than anything else in your life. If you want to know what you really believe, look at how you pray. Why? Because it reveals what I really believe about who God is and who I am and how life works. My prayer life reveals whether or not I believe that God is available, whether he's interested, or whether he's good, or whether he's kind, whether he's harsh and angry. You see, my prayer life also reveals what I believe about myself. Am I worthy? Am I valued? Am I seen? Am I wanted? Does God even care about me? And it reveals what I believe about how life works. Because when I don't pray, I'm either saying, I just don't think that prayer really changes anything, and so I think I'm just going to have to do it on my own. But if I do pray, it communicates to God that I believe he's interested in all the things that are going on in my life. So what does the way you've arranged your life around prayer, or the lack thereof, show you about your own theology? One of the main reasons we don't pray is because we don't have the heart for it. But what I would say to you today is that to have the heart to pray is even more important than having the ability to pray. What a lot of us say is, well, I don't know how to pray. It's too hard. It's too complicated. And I'm not sure how to even do it. No, that's not really it. The heart, you have to have a heart to pray for it. And the heart to pray is more important than the ability to pray. Amen. That's why the disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. I have a heart for it. I don't know how to do it, but I have a heart to do it. And will you teach me? And can I tell you that you'll never have a heart to pray until you first have a heart for God? Because why would you want to have a heart to talk to someone that you don't even have a heart for? You see, the mouth speaks of the outflow of the heart, and the ears are always tuned to the things that we're interested in. So I would ask you this morning, what are your mouth, your words, and your ears telling you about what you're really interested in today? I mean, have you ever seen a grandparent with a young child? I see the babies in here sometimes, and I see them, and they're all goo-goo and gaga. And I have grandkids, and I'm just letting them tell me stories, and they're not saying anything. But you know what? I've never seen a grandparent say, well, I tell you what, you better go and learn how to say it. When you do, then I'll take you for ice cream. That's what we do with God. We think, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I'm just babbling, you know? And sometimes I feel like I do it all the time with him. But that's not what we think. That's not the way. That's why Jesus says this. He says, when you pray, you don't have to be like the pagans and babble and use a bunch of words. Can I tell you, Father already knows what you need. He already cares. It's not about the right words. It's not about religious words. It's just about talking to him. I'll tell you a story. One time before my dad passed, there were a few times that my stepmom would call us in the middle of the night, and she'd say, hey, we've got your dad in the emergency room. It doesn't look like he's going to make it. He had asbestosis in his lungs, and he just couldn't breathe, and sometimes they'd have to take him, and we wasn't sure each time that they would take him. And I remember we got up in the middle of the night and we drove to Amarillo. We got to the hospital just as the sun was coming up. And we had gotten a phone call about 30 minutes before we got there. And they said, you better hurry. How far are you? We're not sure how much longer he's going to hold on. So, man, I put the pedal down and away we went. And I got there and went in, and They met us at the double doors going back to the ICU. And she said, Jack, it's not looking good. You better hurry. So I walked in there to the room and Dad was out. He was just completely out. He didn't even know I was there. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't have a fancy prayer. I didn't have all these words. But I laid across him and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I could say. That's all I had in me was the name of Jesus. Because I knew and I remembered that there's power in the name of Jesus. And whenever I got through and I felt like I'd done everything I could do, I knew that my family had driven all night and they were hungry and they were tired. And I thought, I'm going to take them to the cafeteria. We'll get us something to eat and we're going to come back and we're going to see where we're at. We're sitting in the cafeteria and my stepsister, she comes running in and she says, Jack, your dad's awake. You need to come and see him. You see, it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because I had this super connection. I didn't know what to say. I had no idea, but I did know that there's power in the name of Jesus. And that's all I had to say. And our Father knew what we needed. He came and he touched my dad and he lived another 2 years. You see, God is good. And this morning, if you're here and you say, Pastor Jack, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Let me tell you, just the best way to practice this is to just pray. Just pray. Just talk to him like he's someone that you're doing life with. Just speak to him. That's all he wants. He wants this intimacy with you. And let me tell you, when you get that intimacy with you, then the authority can flow through you and you can do the things that Jesus did on the spot because you've done the things that Jesus did behind the scenes. Amen? So this morning, I just want you to stand with me. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. You see, when Jesus prayed, he didn't use religious words. He didn't plead and beg. He didn't say, oh God, please come and hear us. You see, because he knew that he was right there. So he knew he didn't have to beg and plead. And we don't have to beg and plead because we are heirs of Jesus. We're sons and daughters. But what we do have to have is we have to have that intimacy. And you got to get intimacy through spending time with that person. And so this morning, before we leave, we're just going to spend a few moments in prayer right where we're at. And I want you to have some intimate moments with him. I want you to share with him the things that's on your heart, not the things you think that he wants to hear, not asking him to fix and do and all of these things. Just crawl up in his lap this morning and say, Father, I need some time with you. I need to just have you hold me for a moment. I need you to just love on me for a moment. And I need to love on you for a moment. And let's just spend a few moments with him before we leave today. Can we do that? Father, I come to you. I want you praying in your own way, okay? You pray. I'm just going to pray. Father, I love you this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your hand and your touch upon us today. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to come to you and have some fancy words, or we don't have to have a connotation that we say and learn what to say, but God, we can just talk to you as our Father. And so today, God, I love you. I love you, and I thank you, Lord, for your presence in my life. I thank you, Lord, that you're making me more like you each and every day. I thank you that your arms are around me right now and you're loving on me and you're allowing me to love on you. I thank you for this intimate moment that I'm having with you. I thank you for the intimate moments everyone in the room is having with you right now. God, you see, we want to seek your face, not your hands. Today, I ask nothing of you more than just your presence. I don't need anything else. I just need you. I need you to be real in my life.
I'm thankful that you're concerned about everything that goes on in my world and in my area of living. I thank you, Father, that you've placed people in my life that love me and that will correct me and lead me and help me to be better. But God, most of all, I'm thankful that your Holy Spirit does that too. I'm thankful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit goes with me, before me. He goes with me. He goes after me. Lord, I thank you for your presence today. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And now, Father, I just want to lift up Grace Point Church to you today. I want you to pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, lead us and guide us into intimacy with you, Father, so that as we go through those intimate moments, you can give us that authority that we need, Father, to do the things that you call us to do here on this earth. I thank you, Father, that you have a job for each and every one of us to do. I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to minister to each and every one of us today the power of prayer. Lord, that we would leave this place today knowing that I want to talk to you more than I've ever wanted to talk to you before. Put that in our hearts today, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Pastor Zach's going to come and give us some announcements. Have a great week. I love you. God bless you.